Thank you for stopping by Living Waters World Online, the place where the river of God flows. Pastors Lawrence and Kimberly Richardson invite you on a journey to change the church, challenge the colleges, and charge into the community. The following message is entitled, Welcoming New Beginnings.
For correlating scripture, amen, I'll read Isaiah 43, amen, verse 18 and 19. Isaiah 43, verse 18 and 19, for a correlating amen, verse. Let's read. Amen. Elder Natira, if you don't mind, help me. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. And
for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away.
Continue.
Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he sat on the throne. He who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son.
And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall be there any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sitteth on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these things are true, and they are faithful. Isaiah 43, 18 and 19, it says, Remember not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing, and now it shall spring forth, and shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. For a few moments this morning, I want to talk about welcoming new beginnings. Welcoming new beginnings. Father, thank you for the word that you sowed in my heart to minister. For these next few moments, God, give me articulation of speech, Lord. Anoint that which I would say, God, that ears would hear it and lives would be changed. Father, we want to see your will, your good, acceptable, perfect will on earth done. And you said, how can they hear without a preacher? But then how can the preacher preach unless he or she is sent? So use me today, God, as a sent preacher. Use us as a sitting congregation that could hear the word and then become doers of the word. Speak to every area of our lives. Part of our lives need to be saved. Part of our lives need to be healed. And part of our lives need to be delivered. So speak to every part of our lives, Lord. We're open, Lord. We are available. We want to be better when we leave here than we were when we came. And you sent your word and it healed us. So speak in this place, God. Make me an oracle. Let me declare your truth with no apologies, Lord. But let me say it in a way, God, that it is spoken in love. And that can be received and we can be made the better. We thank you. We glorify your name. This is our prayer today. Thank you for your waiting congregation. Circumcise their ear that they can hear what the Spirit is saying. Not what Lawrence is saying, but what the Spirit is saying. Thank you. We glorify your name. And all God's people said amen and amen. Ministers, y'all be released. Amen. Give me a few moments and I'll be done. Amen. But for a few moments today, I want to talk about welcoming new beginnings. Somebody say that with me, welcoming new beginnings. All right. Is there any part of anybody's life in here that you want a new beginning? Any part of your life? You want a new beginning? All right. If you do, put your hand up. All right. Talk back to me. All right. Any part of your life, it could be your money, it could be your relationships, it could be, hey man, starting a new job, starting a new business. If there's any part of your life that you want a new beginning, then I came to talk to you today because God said this is a time of welcoming new beginnings. The book of Revelation, it is written by John the Revelator. If you are a student of the Bible, you understand that this is not the first book that John wrote. There are four other books that he wrote, beginning with one of the Gospels. In Revelation chapter number 1, verse 1, 2, and 3, it tells us the theme and it tells us the purpose and it tells us what John is intending to accomplish and even the blessing that comes by reading what John wrote. It says in Revelation 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ. So don't let anybody tell you that it is about something that it is not. John says this book is about the revelation of Jesus Christ, all right? The spirit of prophecy in itself is always about Jesus, all right? So when we get off to spookiness, when we get off to craziness, when we get off to somewhere, then all we probably have is a good charlatan. All we have is somebody that is mimicking as a preacher of the gospel. But the book of Revelation, it is about the revelation of Jesus Christ, all right? And it says, which God gave unto him to show his servants the things that which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it with his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of the testimony of Jesus Christ and all the things that he saw. And listen what he says as he brings a clue to introducing the theme. He said, and blessed is he that readeth, that he may hear the words of this prophecy. So Revelation not only has a theme of telling us what it is to come, but John said the Spirit of the Lord told him that if anybody would read this book, in just reading it, they would receive a blessing. Do me a favor, ask your neighbor, say, neighbor, have you received your blessing lately? Right. I hope you was able to put one and two together and understand that I'm asking, have you read the book of Revelation? All right. Because this book, John says, just by reading it, you're going to be blessed. Have you received your blessing lately? You don't have to answer in here because you're in the house of God and I don't want you lined up in here. All right. But read it sometime. Come on, tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, read it sometime. In the first three verses, we see what the book is all about, and we are given the purpose, and then we are given that it's so sacred that we receive a blessing. One of the great theologians, C.S. Scofield, he says of the book of Revelation, it is all the events moving towards one consummation. It is the bringing together of the covenant kingdom of God, and it shows us everything that was and everything that is and everything is to come. Right. So when you're reading Revelation, you cannot look as it as it's talking historically or is it talking, amen, futuristic? Because when you read Revelation, it's talking about all three, that which was, that which is, and that which is to come. It is the consummation bringing us to the covenant kingdom. Revelations 11 and 15, it says, and the seventh angel sounded, and there was great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forevermore. Revelation is about revealing, even the word apocalypse, that which Revelation is made of, it is not something, amen, to be scared of, but it's something to be positioned to see what God is trying to show us. Book of Revelation is trying to show us what is to come. And the more and more I read Matthew and Daniel and the other prophetic books, it looks like the front page of our newspapers. For it tells us what was, what is, and what is to come. Do me a favor, ask your neighbor one more time. Say, neighbor, have you read it to get your blessing lately? And I can tell by the way y'all asked it, you really don't want to answer that question. But it tells us which was and what is and which is to come. John C. Maxwell, which is a book of leadership, it says of the book of Revelation that it differs from any other book of the Bible or any other book in the New Testament. It contains not only a message for the first century church, whom it was written by Apostle John, but it is also about the churches throughout the ages and particularly those that would be living in end times and those that would see the return of Jesus Christ. If you want to know what the world is going to look like prior to Christ returning, then all you need to do is pick up the book of Revelation Because what is to come, John told us over 2,000 years ago what it was look like. Please hear me, those of you, especially those of you that are really desiring to be theologians. We don't have to guess how this is going to turn out. I love what Professor Dr. R. Stacy said, one of the professors at Liberty Bible School that when I'm attending. Tell them I'm preaching right now. They got to call you back later, all right? the professor said, if we sum up Revelations in one word, it is the word hope. If we sum up Revelations in one word, it is the word hope. And you may ask, why is it the word hope? Because when you read Revelation, in the end, God wins. And I don't know how that makes you feel, but that makes me feel pretty good in the morning when I know when this is all over, God wins. That makes me get up in the morning. Come on, tell your neighbors and neighbor, before this is over, God wins. That may encourage us to get on the Lord's side if we are not on the Lord's side. Because as the old saints used to say, Sister Franklin, some glad morning when this life is over. We do want a royal crown. But in the end, God wins. In Lamentations, it says, it is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed because his compassion fail not. They are new every morning. Every morning we get up, we ought to be optimistic. But we ought to also be encouraged because we know that we are one day closer to God giving us the victory. Amen. That is what the book of Revelation is about. Let me bring you into my title and then get you to my point so I can let you go. I said that we are welcoming new beginnings. When we read Revelation chapter number 21, this is the seventh new beginning. There's a first, there's a second, there's a third, and you got to go back and see that. I'm not going to talk about all that this morning, do I'll be here way too long. But when we get to Revelation chapter number 21, this is the seventh voice from heaven that now there is a new beginning. I don't know if you really understand this or not, but our God is about new beginnings. And I wish I had time because I could back you all the way up into the book of Genesis and walk you through Malachi and then walk you through the epistles and the general epistles. God over and over and over and over and over began again. And every time people or the unbelievers or the atheists or the agnostics did not believe God was doing something, he began again. Our God is about beginning again. And I'm going to say this loud because two or three of you need to really hear this, especially when it looks like it's all over. It's more than likely God's getting ready to begin again. Do me a favor, grab somebody's hand, squeeze it real tightly, and tell them it might look like it's over, but God's getting ready to begin again. Now, if I was preaching up in the Baptist church, somebody would have said amen right there. So my title is Welcoming New Beginnings. The word welcome, it means to kindly greet as to one who arrives and you're pleasured by their presence. It means to greet with pleasure or some kind of courtesy or to receive and to accept. So when I say we are welcoming new beginning, we're saying it is our pleasure that this moment is right here. And I receive it and I greet it and it's all right with me. Come on, somebody say with me, God beginning again is all right with me. In order to welcome the new, and I'm almost at my point and then I'll be at two and then you can take me into my doxology. In order to welcome the new, we must have great trust in God's divine providence. I'm going to say that again because I got to get to where I'm going. A lot of us cannot embrace the new because we are not convinced that God has divine providence. We're not sure that everything is working together for good. We're not convinced that he worketh everything after the counsel of his own will. We're not quite convinced, some of us, that he's even a good God. So when we're not convinced that God is good and God is in control, he sitteth upon the circles of the earth and the inhabitants are his grass. When we're not convinced of all of this, we're always peeking around the corner wondering, how is this going to work out? But when we're convinced that God is in control of our lives and he has ordered my steps and no good thing will he withhold from us, when we are convinced of that, then we are sure that if he begin again, it's going to be for my benefit. If he's going to begin again, then he got something in mind that I didn't see when I started. Are y'all still here? And I don't know if you guys understand this. We sort of like being in control. Y'all didn't say nothing to me. We sort of kind of want to work this out and God, you're going to get me married by 23 and God, I'm going to have the third child by 27 and God, I'm going to have the mansion by 29 and God, by 30, I'm going to be working on my retirement plan and by 40, I'm going to be sitting taking it easy. And so we've worked life like all of this going to work out and then we look up and we're 30 and it ain't even no potential candidates to marry. And you said I'm right about that. At least I know I'm preaching to one person. So we sort of started getting trouble because, oh, God, I feel like preaching, but I didn't come to do it like that this morning. But we look up, and this stuff ain't working out like I thought. I'm going to say that again because y'all didn't say nothing. We sort of kind of start moving through life, and we've accepted Jesus, and we're living for him. And then we get, Brother Jordan, we get one or two bumps in the road, and we start throwing up our hands talking about, God, what's going on here? I thought you had my best interest in mind. I thought this was, I don't know if y'all ever heard me talk about it, but I was about 19 and I said by the age of 25, I'm gonna have me a BMW, a black man with wheels. And I was working stuff out and then when I finally got the BMW, I couldn't get rid of it. And I couldn't pay for the window breaking because it was $300-$400. And I sort of kind of begin to figure out, I might need to sit back, trust God, and let him work this out after his own counsel. Y'all didn't say nothing. Because every time, I wish I had some honest folks, because every time I start working this out, I keep messing it up. Y'all didn't say nothing. If you don't think you'd mess it up, think about that guy. I ain't gonna talk about who you married. I'm gonna talk about who you wanted to marry, but God didn't let you marry. And you saw him a few weeks ago. You said, thank you, Jesus. Okay, y'all ain't got to say nothing. Y'all. I got a few other folks. Now, everybody's not holding a career. Now, I know they dated since they was like 7. They met at 7 and fell in love, and they never saw anybody else. They had any kind of beauty. And they got, now they having children and multiple children. But most of y'all ain't holding in career. Y'all got a couple of high school folks that you so thankful, God, you didn't let me marry them. Amen. 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 Boy, see y'all pointing, but y'all ain't saying nothing. I know y'all don't want to hear this, but y'all pastor got about 1-2 women. I'm so glad God didn't let me marry them. Okay, see, I I'm the only one on this person, and I'm so glad. Y'all have been looking up in here today like, he's a man of God, but I don't know how he chose her. She crazy. Okay, y'all ain't saying nothing in here. Some of y'all dated some crazy folks. And you so glad? Can we just, I know I didn't come to preach about that. Can we thank God for who he didn't let us marry? Good God. Okay, I didn't come to mess with that. But the truth of the matter is, we sort of kind of want to be so in control that every now and then, God's got to show us that if I let you be in control, you will make such a mess of this that you will have to beg me to get you out of it. And so we move into a place that we begin to declare, this is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. But not only am I going to rejoice and be glad in it, I'm starting to declare now, Lord, have your own way. Where you want me to work, come on, y'all. Where you want me to work, that's where I want to work. where you want me to live, I don't care if it's in the heart of Baltimore City and that's where I'm supposed to be and everybody talking all crazy, even the White House talking all crazy about Baltimore. But if you want me in Baltimore City, that's exactly where I want to be. And if you want me working in the school system, I'm so glad in the school system. If you want me creating my, I'm so glad, because I find out that when we let God work things after his all counsel, it always turned out so good. I wish I had some honest folks. A lot of choices that you call good in my life, I wouldn't have chose that if it had not been for God. And so God is trying to tell us today, I want you to get postured to trust my divine providence, to trust my sovereignty, to trust my ability to do anything but fail. Let me say that again. God is trying to move us over that we trust his providence, that we trust his sovereignty, and that we trust his ability to never fail. Amen. Say that again, and I'm going to get where I'm going. God's trying to move us over into a posture, because I told you a long time ago, he's trying to build faith to believe, and he's trying to get us to be the God kind of faith that creates miracle signs and wonders. And then he's trying to us to get us to rest that, God, I trust you that everything you do, it is good with me and it's going to work for my betterment. So God is trying to get us to trust his divine providence, to trust his sovereignty. And I need to say this real loud, and to trust his ability to never fail. Am I the only one in here that it took about 3-4 years to find out what I thought God failed in? He worked it out just fine. Am I the only one here? Okay, I'm glad I got three of y'all. Sometimes it takes a little time to figure out he didn't fail. He just began again. Are y'all still here? Come on, do me a favor. Tell your neighbor one more time. Say, he didn't fail. He just began again. And so he's now trying to get us to a posture that we welcome new beginning. How do we welcome new beginnings? And I'm so glad you asked. Number one, we must now discover the door leading to the new heaven and the new earth that God is introducing to us. We must now discover the new heaven and the new earth that God is leading to us to. I heard Miles Monroe say something the other day that he said the Garden of Eden was more than a spot geographically, but it was an opening in the heavens that man could find God. Wow. We have to discover where is the new heaven and new earth that you're leading me into. I wish I had a little bit more time, because Genesis 28, Jacob looked up one day and he said, this is none other than the gate of heaven. God has a door that leads us into new beginning. God has a door that leads us into a new season. And sometimes doors have closed in order for new doors to open. So we must constantly ask, and especially when we sense it's the timing, God, where is my new door? Somebody go ahead and practice it with me. Say, Lord, where is my new door? And Jacob awakened out of his sleep, Genesis 28, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid, and he said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God and the gate of heaven. In order for us to survive, overcome, and conquer, we must find the place of the open door. In order for us to survive, in order for us to overcome, in order for us to conquer, we must find the place of the open door. And I really need to speak to people that is looking for peace and looking for prosperity and looking for where God wants to take you now. You have to be intentional in finding, God, where is my new door? It may be a job. It may be in a new friendship. It may be in somebody you met. And you can't be so insensitive. And I hear you, Holy Spirit. And you can't be moving so fast that you missed the opportunity that God was opening a door. He'll have you 30 seconds meeting somebody that'll change your life for 30 years. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Amen. That's for sure. We sat down to eat. I believe it was Tuesday night. For Isaiah's birthday, Mama Kozart was taking him out, and And they set us down by some people, and I'm like, man, I'm pastor, folks. I'm on vacation. I don't want to sit down with nobody. I wanted it just to be us. But before that conversation was over, all of our food was paid for. And this man is trying to figure out, how can I pay for your rest of your vacation? What you want to do? Go to a football game? What you want to do? So if I would have been closed and act nasty, y'all know how we do when we don't want to be bothered? And we were not eating at McDonald's, so y'all can understand. It was about $25 to $30 a pop. And before the meal was over, just because we had a conversation, a door to a meal was. And then he was calling me the whole time, the rest of the time I was there. You want to go to a football game? You want to go to Tampa Bay practice? What do you want to do? I like helping people. What do you want to do? I never threw out there. I wouldn't mind a yacht while I was down here. Don't tell me to ask. I asked. All you can tell me is no. But I was nice. I'm like, I'm good, man. Just let me rest. I'm going to call him next week because I got a couple requests. I don't know why God opened that door. And I think sometimes, guys, we're moving so fast, we pre-qualify people by when we meet them of what they can fulfill in our lives. I think we discredit, and Hebrews told us already that we ought to be careful because we might have met an angel unaware. Somebody you met in the last 30 days probably could have changed your life if you would not have ignored them. Number one says we must now discover the door leading to the new heaven and the new earth, like the Garden of Eden. I love what Miles Monroe said. There is a reason that God put an angel guard in the Garden of Eden. Because only certain people can get in there at certain times. And it might be your season to go through a brand new door. But you gotta sense it.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Living Waters World Online. If you were blessed by this message, or know someone who will be blessed by this message, please click the link below for more information on how to receive the full-length copy. We hope you are encouraged. And please remember, this is the place where the river of God flows.